Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
ear.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest with us this morning, Mr. John Witherspoon.
Mr. Witherspoon.
Hey, thank you for having me, y'all. Thank you. It's cold, but I'm happy to be here.
You look good, man. 73 years young.
73. I'm gonna go to about 120.
120.
You gonna clock out around 120?
120. About 4:30 in the afternoon.
You know, you guys interest me, Matt, because we had Larry King up here a couple of days ago, and he's 81.
81.
And it's just like y'all just keep moving. Y'all just keep going.
He's 81. His wife is like 55 or something.
That's a good combination.
Yeah, it's a good gap.
Real.
What you think keeps you going, man?
Working and getting his paper.
Right.
I was a broke man when I was coming up, see?
Yeah.
But you haven't been broken a long time.
But the fact is that you never forget.
Mm-hmm.
I was from a family of 11 kids.
Right.
Yeah. So we didn't have no paper. So, you know, now that I'm making money, I'm doing fine. You know what keeps me working is I used to go to school, like the cold as it is right now outside. Mm-hmm. I used to wear 2 left boots to school. My mother made me wear 2 left boots, 5th grade.
I hear people say that. How do you wear 2 left boots?
You got to, you know, they kick your ass out the house. That's how you wear them.
Who had the right boot?
The left foot, the right foot. I don't know which, because the boots were 2 left boots.
Got you.
Yeah, so you never forget that when you're growing up, see.
And you grew up in St. Louis.
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Okay. Detroit. Mm-hmm.
Motor City. My brother used to work at Motown. So I knew all the people. I knew Marvin Gaye and the Temps, and I played basketball with the Temps, and I know Smokey today. I knew all those people in Detroit.
You were cool with Bill Cosby.
Huh?
Were you cool with Bill Cosby?
No, I met him once, I think. In passing.
Really?
We were on an airplane, I think. And I met Bill Cosby, but we weren't in the same arenas. They would never let me in the Playboy Club. Playboy Mansion. I tried to get in the Playboy Mansion.
You tried to get in and you couldn't?
Yeah, they would let me in.
I've been there one time.
Well, did you go in there? Yeah.
Yeah, for a party, but... So when you see everything that's happening with him, and, you know, he's had a long, illustrious career, and now towards the end of his career, his name is just...
It's mud.
Yeah. What do you have to say about something like that and those allegations?
Well, he must have had some misunderstanding with a lot of women. Because they didn't particularly like what he did to them. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have to do this. You at the Playboy Club, women weren't running around naked.
Right, they are.
So why are you giving somebody... Well, they say you gave them a pill or some liquid.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do that. That's a fetish. You got a different kind of thing going.
How do you avoid being accused of things happening? Were you ever in a situation where you didn't do something but somebody accused you of it?
No, I never.
That's never happened.
No, it ain't happened yet.
You're too late in the game for that.
I got too much game now.
Yeah.
No, I never had that happen to me. But Bill shouldn't. I don't understand what he's doing in a situation like this.
I think some people have fetishes, though. Like maybe for some people, that's what turns them on. Like,
he got too much game. If they said I gave him some pills, only thing a woman will get from me is a high blood pressure pill, and some cholesterol medicine, and her bladder might be okay because I take them bladder pills too. So no, I ain't never been no game like that.
But you
got to be careful, though.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Were you really in the civil rights movement? You told TMZ.
Yeah, back in the civil rights movement.
Okay.
Yeah. But we walked down Woodward Avenue once.
What?
And I used to curse out the TV a lot.
Yeah.
But but I was back in the civil rights movement, yeah. I did all that.
Gotcha.
When I was coming up, man, you know, and Martin Luther King was there. Oh, yeah. But we didn't march as much as they did in the South. Well, you know, everybody in Detroit in 1960 something like players, pimps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had the Cadillacs and the hair conked.
Y'all drove down the block.
Yeah, they drove with the woman sitting on the side with the red hair. Talking about we shall overcome.
Yeah, yeah. You still got a light little conk going.
No, this actually, when you dye your hair, it's straightened out on you, see?
Okay.
That's all that is. Yeah. when this dye come out the head, my hair gonna say,
Now, what's your relationship with Eddie Murphy?
He's just a good friend.
He's still a good friend?
Yeah, a real good friend, and I worked with him. He called me for jobs that I didn't even know I'm going to get.
Really?
He said, I want Spoon to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
really cool. Well, Richard Pryor used to do the same thing
mm-hmm.
when I knew Richard. But Eddie, we worked on Vampire in Brooklyn together. Mm-hmm. We were there a lot together. You're talking about somebody funny. When the cameras are off, that's when Eddie's just real funny.
Mm-hmm. You know, did you see him on SNL the other night, the 40th anniversary?
Yeah, I didn't see that. But the fact that part that they talking about Bill Cosby, that wasn't nothing anyway.
Yeah.
It was nothing. And Eddie got enough money to say, I don't want to do no crap like that.
That's another comedian was telling me, oh, Eddie Murphy was scared. I'm like, Eddie Murphy don't get scared. He ain't got to be there.
He got so much money. He went to He went to smash it in their face. So I'm going to go over there, but I ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
Do you get a lot of that, too? Because I feel like people like Eddie don't get appreciated by the institutions that they helped establish.
Well, me, I don't give a damn. I don't. People appreciate me, but I don't give a damn they appreciate me or not.
Gotcha.
I got some money now.
Yeah.
Now, out of all the movies, out of all the movies that you've been in, what do you think deserves a part two, a sequel? If every movie that you've been in, what would you love to see a part two of?
But you know, I don't know. You know, Friday need to do another one of those. That's when I make a lot of money on that one.
Got to pull the original cast. Got to be Chris.
Everybody got to come back. Chris Tucker is not coming back. He got saved, and that's what I'm told. And he got his income tax stuff taken care of now with the government, so now he's fine.
Right.
But me, thinking about my little world, I like to have another fourth Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Because already the third Friday, they pay you a lot of money, so they know they got to give you more money on the fourth one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's the one I think I'd rather come back. And also, I love Vampire in Brooklyn. That was a good movie. I had a lot of fun.
Too.
Oh, yeah, it'd be funny.
And it ended like it was going to be a sequel.
Yeah, it did.
Kadeem Hardison.
He was the vampire now. Yeah, and I was the limousine driver. But never did. They never. Nobody picked it up. Yeah, and you get disappointed because I'm thinking to myself, boy, they're going to do a sequel on this because they ended like it's going to be a sequel.
Mm-hmm. You said you worked with Robin Williams, too, on this when you used to work with Richard Pryor back in the
day. Yeah, Robin had just come in town.
Yeah.
We were all day players. We only got about $500 a week. And Robin had a little young dude. He was real scared. And they made him an extra. He was an extra in the movies. Richard Pryor would say, I want Spoon to be in this scene. Let Spoon do this. Let Spoon do this. And Robin, let him stand in the corner. But, you know, he'd give Robin spots. So Robin was the lawyer when I was charged with raping a white woman. I remember that. He was our lawyer. And let him ad-lib. We both ad-lib. And it's a funny scene.
You got charged with raping a white woman?
In the movie.
Lord,
oh, no.
What did you tell about that?
No.
I just asked you, did you ever get accused of something?
No. I
ain't
never.
Just the movie.
I ain't got to try raping no white woman.
you said Robin was a coke fiend?
Was he in drugs there?
He wasn't a coke fiend or a drug dealer. He loved cocaine. And one time, he saved me because, you know, I was, I would hit everybody with coke, but one time I bought a gram of cocaine, my own. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea how much you get. I know you get that little pile for $100. I was shocked. And so I'm hitting my little coke. I had my little spoon around my neck in the back of the Comedy Store. And so Robin came right there, and I'm hitting his joint. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And Robin came and said, he want to hit my coke. I gave him the coke. Yeah, Robin, here. I gave him the spoon off my neck. He went into my little vial, that little brown vial, and hit that coke and turned it to the side and flipped some coke out of there and said, hum. I said, damn, Robin.
He's the whole label.
I didn't know you was the Hoover vacuum cleaner company.
Coke was regular back then, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's like weed now.
Well, you know what? When Richard Pryor come off stage, the coke man would have somebody at the door to give his bodyguards and stuff coke to give to Richard. If you like it, you can buy more. That's what they do. They give you a lot of coke. They wouldn't give it to me, but they give it to Richard.
For Richard Pryor's biopic, have they asked you just for some consulting, like maybe some good stories since you know him so well?
Well, I knew. Well, you know what happened? In the Comedy Store back then, I was the MC, the host of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard would come in. I didn't know he was in the room. He'd be sitting in the back. And he would say, I would come by. Hey, Richard, how you doing, man? What are you doing here? You got to come by and see how you doing, Spoon. You know, but I know he want to go on stage, but I need to coax him into going on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He would never come there and say, I want to go on stage. So I had to do something. I said, Richie, you want a drink? I'll get you a drink. Yeah, someone give me in there. So I know to give him. I give him a drink. Now I leave and come back again. So I said, Richie, so you okay, man? Everything good? Want to go on stage? He said, no. I just come see how you doing, Spoon. So I walk away again. And then the third time, I said, Richie, just go up on stage and let everybody know that we get big stars coming to the Comedy Store.
Right.
He said, okay, Spoon, I'll go up there and see. He said, when am I going? I said, you're going next. So I put him on. He stayed up there an hour and a half.
Oh, wow. Man.
Yeah. Then he had his secretary call me the next day and say, tell Spoon, thank you for putting me on stage. Wow. He's getting me on stage.
Wow.
He was that kind of person.
Who owned the Comedy Store?
Mitzi Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Shore's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She took it from him when they got a divorce.
Mm.
And Paulie Shore's mama.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know them.
I remember there was all kind of legal issues with that recently.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's between the two brothers.
Yeah.
And his sister. Because Mitzi is so feeble now, I don't think she know her name.
Mm.
Do you still go to places like that, just pop up yourself at comedy?
Oh, no. I haven't done that in 20-some years. Mm-hmm. I got a son and go to the Comedy Store now, Laugh Factory.
Oh, so you don't work out no more? You just do straight shows?
I don't, if I want to try something new, I try it on on the stage and where I'm working. Gotcha. I never go to the comedy store and try it out. When I do David Letterman show, I used to be so nervous and all that stuff, man. 7 minutes, I do that stuff. I go on the show and work at work. But he's my friend, so we, you know, he'll ask me different questions that's not even on the list. So that makes it funny, see.
Right.
We can be ourselves.
But you the OG now, so that's it. Like, you too old to get booed. Ain't nobody gonna boo you now.
Oh, no, I'm getting booed. They may holler at me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in Constitution Hall. I didn't even know what the dude said. He way back there, about 4,200 people. Somebody back there, you can't talk way back there.
Yeah.
I didn't even acknowledge it. But then he stopped. Somebody brought him, probably told him, shut up.
Do you get mad at you know, some of your old stuff, like bang, 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 you know, or, you know, 30, 40, 50 minutes in the bathroom? Like, do you get mad at that? Because when I was going to introduce you, I almost said, and now we have to bang, bang, you know, because that's do you get mad at
that? No, hell no.
No?
Uh-uh, that made me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe somebody don't want anybody to say, like, dynamite. What's his name? Jimmy Walker didn't want people to say dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's what made me living where I'm living.
Was that ad-lib or was that written in the script? Was that improv?
It was all ad-lib. It was on Boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole scene in Boomerang was ad-lib. There was no script. Mm-hmm. Richard Pryor, I was in L.A. I mean, Eddie Murphy said he wants Spoon to play David Allen Greer's daddy in Boomerang. And so Paramount, they were over budgeted already on the Boomerang. You notice that my scene wasn't even had nothing to do with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me coming to visit my son. They said they don't want Spoon, whoever he is, to play this new scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they told Reginald Hudlin, we don't want nobody. Who is this Spoon anyway? And Richard and Eddie said, I want Spoon to play the part. We're not going to finish the movie till he do it.
Wow.
They flew me all the way from L.A. To New York. And I picked all them clothes I put on. I picked all that out. And I wrote it. I went in my little dressing room and wrote my little stuff down, what I'm going to say. So I said, all you got to do is ask me when I walk in the door, how do I pick my clothes?
Mm-hmm.
So first when we shot the scene, Martin Lawrence was the one opening the door.
Mm-hmm.
But Richard saw, Eddie saw so much, how much last we were getting, he told Martin to keep walking to his seat. I'm going to do the scene with Spoon.
Mm.
Ain't that amazing? So he and I did it.
Now, we had Sinbad on here, and Sinbad said that Hollywood never liked Bill Cosby. So I wondered, you know, you've been in the game a long time. Did you ever get any backlash from Hollywood just being black, just for you being black?
No, not really. You know, I don't know why Hollywood didn't like Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby made tons of money out of it. Bill Cosby made out like he didn't made it, maybe didn't like Hollywood. But Hollywood loved Bill Cosby. So Brandon Tartikoff gave him the job. He used to be the president of Paramount.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that hooked Bill Cosby up. Bill Cosby can't say nothing. Whatever happened and his misunderstanding with them ladies, it's his fault. I don't know. He should have put a mask on.
What about the Wayans brothers? You still cool with them?
Oh, yeah. Man, they got me the best job. I had a regular check coming in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every week that check was there. Oh, y'all should have seen that money. Well, I never had a series before.
Yeah.
You got to realize them series, you know, you're doing a series. We did 100 shows, 5 years. That check, boom, boom, bang, 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 bang.
The series is better money than is regular money, but is it better money than a movie?
Well, see, the thing about it, if you're working on ABC, NBC, Fox,
network television.
ABC, what is it, network? CBS. Yeah, network television, you're going to get the big bucks. I'm working on cable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the same money you get on regular TV, you know. But we were getting, like when I was on Tracy Morgan's show, I made a lot of money because Carsey Warner and Moneybach were the producers and they produced big time stuff.
Right.
And what's the name from Saturday Night Live was one of the producers, the head of Saturday Night Live.
Lorne Michaels.
Lorne Michaels was one of the producers. So you get a lot of money on those, but cable, you don't get the same money.
So you say the Boondocks and Black Jesus don't pay you well.
Not as much as I deserve.
Yeah.
No, Boondocks is gone. That's canceled.
I know, the last season was so bad.
Yeah,
man.
Well, because Aaron Magruder did not write those scripts.
Yeah.
Right.
He got tired and they fired him, so they got somebody else. They trying to get somebody to imitate my voice.
Really?
We didn't want to do it if Aaron Magruder wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to try to get somebody to dig in. They had a whole casting thing to see who can talk like Granddaddy.
Oh, so that wasn't you last season?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
But they couldn't find anybody.
Yeah.
So that means so
you charge them double then?
We really had to. I charged them then, boy. Then they had to pay me a whole season. I ain't utter one word. They paid me a whole season.
Wow.
Ooh, that money looked good. You should have seen that check.
Yeah, man. That bugged me out because I was such a big fan of the Boondocks. And I'm like, how can they take something that Aaron created
and just say,
you're not part of it anymore?
That's cold. Because he sold his rights to television.
Mm-hmm.
He sold his rights to TV. to never sell your stuff until they give you $20 million.
Right.
Wow. He sold his rights. And he can do a movie, but he's doing other stuff now, see?
Yeah, like Black Jesus.
He's doing Black Jesus. That's going to be a big hit. You wait till this next season.
Oh, I love Black Jesus.
It's going to be a bigger. They did the little show here, little easy show, 10 episodes to see if anybody like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it went over big time.
Mm-hmm.
And now this new season coming, they say they wrote a lot of new stuff, and it's going to be too cold.
You play a homeless person in Black Jesus. How did you prepare for that role? Did you go sleep on the street every night?
No, I don't need that. Because I used to wear two left boots. I know about being broke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know what happened was they didn't know that I was going to take the role. They said, just do the little scene up front in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the scene, and they gave me all the scripts for the whole season
mm-hmm.
to read and see what I like about. So I added my little lines to this one. I said, oh, this might be a good little role for me.
Mm-hmm.
To play the homeless man. So I did it, and they loved it. So we negotiated, and I got and I'm one of the most favorite characters in Black Jesus. And I live in a cardboard box, and I don't wash up when I go to the show. I don't comb my hair. I don't brush my teeth.
I'm sure everyone appreciates it.
I go over there. I'm telling you, it's the funniest role. I have a lot of fun doing it. And Corey would tell you, we have such a good time.
That don't take you to a bad place, though? Because you said you grew up poor. Like
No.
Like, I can't wait to get out these homeless clothes.
Oh, no. Matter of fact, the clothes I'm using on this show, the same clothes I wore on Hollywood Shuffle.
Okay.
When I played a homeless man on Hollywood Shuffle. I saved the whole outfit. You wouldn't believe it. 18 years ago, I saved the outfit in a bag and put it in my closet.
No,
in my garage.
You got to.
And I found the clothes.
Wow.
And I gave it to the wardrobe department. They did 4 or 5 copies of the same clothes and gave my old outfit back.
Wow.
Same clothes I wore. You look at the Hollywood Shuffle when I'm sitting on the ground eating the whole cakes. And they didn't sell.
Yeah.
That's the same outfit.
Wow. Well, you're going to be performing this weekend.
Yeah. I mean,
pull out your notes.
Yeah, I got it. I know where I'm at. I'm being dead. You know where I'm at.
Y'all Gotham know Comedy Club.
Gotham. I said Gotham.
Gotham Comedy Club. Yeah. What's the time? You know the times?
Yeah. 8:30 tonight and 10:30. I'm just joking. I knew it was Gotham. 8 and 10 tomorrow, Saturday. And one show Sunday at 8.
Okay.
Well, the Academy Award is on Sunday.
Yep.
I don't care about no Academy Award.
I never did
watch that crap.
Nah, nobody does.
They make all the money. They got all the big breasts and prints. They got all the cars, all the houses. Then they give themselves trophies. The hell with them.
8 to 10 Friday, 8 to 10 Saturday, and 8 on Sunday. Check out John Witherspoon. Bang, 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 bang.
Bang, bang, bang. I have a cooking show on YouTube called Cooking for Poor People.
Cooking for poor people.
People got to start checking
it out. Like it's going to be a lot of pork on that.
No, ain't no pork in it.
Chicken.
Okay.
Chicken, and it's called Cooking for Poor People because when you're hungry, everything tastes good.
Yeah, what's a good recipe? What's a good quick recipe?
Yeah, I need something.
It's almost like
something with chicken. What you want to eat, though, huh?
Something with chicken, and I need
hot
sauce.
You like chicken?
Yeah. I like hot sauce, and I like chicken.
You should eat chicken, rosemary chicken with pesto pasta.
That don't sound like for something poor people can afford.
That don't sound poor.
No, you ain't got nothing, but you go in the yard and get you some pesto, some whatever,
basil.
And you get the chicken, you cook it in the pan,
okay,
and make some pasta with some pesto sauce on top.
Got you.
Yeah, but you get rosemary. Cool. Rosemary, I got rosemary in my garden.
All right, I got cooking for poor people.
Cooking for poor people, because when you're hungry, everything tastes good.
There you go. Well,
but I do a lot of funny stuff. My stuff is funny.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like I'm just cooking out serious.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about everything in the world. Okay. I'm doing the ISIS and doing about the ISIS people and the... Mm-hmm. And jumping high, I call it is, and it I ain't messing with them.
Hard to make funny jokes about ISIS.
What do you think about older men dating younger women, like a 25-year-old dating a 17-year-old?
25-year-old making jokes 17, that ain't old.
Yeah, it ain't old, right?
No, heck no.
Yeah.
17, make it 18. In case some go down.
You want to cover yourself.
She's legal, yeah, but make it 18. You can't miss 17. Because you know you don't want to be on TV and handcuffed and everything.
Yeah.
With the T-shirt across your shoulders.
My goodness.
But 25 and 18,
bang, 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 bang.
Bang, 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 bang. I wish I could get me I'll take a 35-year-old woman.
You still get groupies?
They still fine. No, I got groupies, but I have a wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But
okay.
But ain't nothing wrong with a 35-year-old woman. They fine.
Mm-hmm. You still bang? You bang a young girl every now and then?
No,
he's married.
No,
Charlamagne, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus I'm too old. I mean, I look at the little girls and hug them. I might hug them a little too long. That might be a little molesting there, but. But no, I don't mess around.
All right.
I count my money. I'm telling you, you have no idea how happy I am to be counting my money.
There you go. I know you got it. All them, because all them stuff you've done, I'm sure you've just been saving your checks. Ain't like
plus,
you
I bought property. I got about 8 homes.
There you go.
There you go. That's why you got it.
I had an apartment building in Beverly Hills. And I'm out there watering the grass, and they called the police on me.
Really?
No, they did not really call the police on
Yeah,
you.
Some old lady said, some black man out here watering the grass. He might be ready to steal
and the
something.
Police came in. What did they say?
They said, sorry, Mr. Witherspoon.
That's crazy. I'll be so mad.
If you was Mexican, they wouldn't have called the police.
No, they wouldn't have called the police.
like Mexican water in the grass in L.A. Okay, that's not about right.
Do me next.
It's your time. You let them go. Well, that's all right. But you gotta make yourself, because you work hard, you're supposed to enjoy yourself when you work that hard, enjoy yourself.
There what you do you drive? Go. It seems like you drive an old school Cadillac or something.
No. I have about 8 cars.
Wow.
Yeah, but I collect old cars.
Like what?
I have a 1964 Morgan. It's an English car.
I know, with the round, with the oval lights.
Oval lights, yeah. And I have a 1964 Triumph TR4. Mm-hmm. You know what that looked like?
Mm-mm.
Okay. And I have a 1955 Bentley.
Wow.
And I have a 1984 Rolls Royce. And I have a 1995 Range Rover. I have a 2004 Range Rover. But I love cars.
Yeah, me too.
72 Mercedes.
Nothing new, because I know them old ones.
I never drive.
You gotta put.
Jason, I never drive.
A lot of work with them old cars sometimes.
But you buy them when they're all pristine. Mm-hmm. You don't buy them like with snow tires on.
Right.
June.
But we appreciate you joining us.
Oh
again,
man,
thank you, Mr. Witherspoon.
Yeah,
John Witherspoon is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yeah, boy.